This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, the social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of January the 22nd, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode number 239 of TVA,
yes,
the podcast. We had a long New Year's sabbatical, Greg.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
It's too late to say that. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. It's too late.
It's not too late, because here's the thing. When we recorded this, so we can let people behind the fourth wall here. We're recording this on the 23rd of January. But, I mean, people might listen to this 2 years from now. And so,
okay.
So is it ever really too late to say it?
Okay. I mean, it just feels kind of weird. I'm still sending out those emails, but now the email has gone from Happy New Year to Hope 2018 is treating you well so far.
And after that, it's like, fuck 2018.
Yeah.
Someone will die, and then we'll be all over that. Yeah, exactly. So, folks, we have been away for a little while, but we did tell you back in December when we recorded that that last episode that we recorded that that would probably be it for December. We weren't planning on waiting this long into January, and we did miss a bunch of stuff on the calendar, but lucky you, we're going to be going back and taking a look over some of that, because almost everything now you can watch on demand anyway, and so if we talk about some stuff that you missed, you'll be able to go back and look over that.
Yeah, that's true. So many people are watching things on demand. Basically, all of the networks now are throwing their episodes up online within 24 hours and giving you a couple of weeks window. So, yeah, we're well within the window before things get locked down.
I think that could be well within the window could be a title. I like the alliteration there.
Yeah, it just flowed.
Yes.
It's early in the morning. I still have my wherewithal.
Ooh, you are furthering the alliteration, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
So, before we go to the calendar, it is time to update everybody on the first of the year beverage update. And Greg, we are recording in the morning, which we don't often do. But for those people who are either maybe enjoying a beverage, maybe they're out on Newfoundland time, and it's closer enough to the PM that they could be enjoying a heavy beverage.
Yeah, it's afternoon there.
Is it an hour and a half, or is it just half an hour? I have no idea.
No, it's an hour and a half, because Eastern because Halifax is an hour earlier than us, and then the half hour in Newfoundland. Okay, let's just get
Where's
right
Brian
to it.
Williams when you need him?
I know, that's exactly who I was in my head.
Newfoundland.
Yeah, exactly. So I am not drinking an alcoholic beverage right now, but I did get a cool case of four beers for Christmas, and I have drunk the first of the four. So I've got the second one in front of me, and this is a Scottish beer. It's made by the Williams Brothers Brewing Company out of Scotland. And it's called Alba, and it's a Scots pine ale. It's a rich, tawny ale brewed with spruce and pine. And I'm a little bit scared about this. I've had plenty of the Quebec beers, the Unibrew brand of beers, Blanche de Chambly, Le Fin du Monde, that type of thing, and those are your upper echelon of the alcohol content, and they can be very, very flavorful with lots of flavors of clove and orange and things like that. But I've never had a beer that has been made with spruce and pine, so I'm not sure what it's going to taste like. It's 7.5% alcohol, and they tell you to – you're not supposed to chill this. It's supposed to be served warm. And the quote on the back is that it's been introduced by the Vikings. Spruce and pine ales were very popular in northern Scotland until the end of the 19th century. Complex, rich, and tawny, Alba is a triple-style ale brewed to a traditional Highland recipe using sprigs of spruce and pine collected every spring. like I said, I'm a little bit nervous about this. I did try one of their more traditional ales, and I quite enjoyed it. So I will be probably having this a little bit later this afternoon with some room temperature pasta, probably.
Wow.
Leftovers.
Room temperature pasta.
Hey, listen, it's already been made. I'm just going to scoop it out of the plastic container, throw it on a plate, maybe sprinkle some hot sauce on it, and I'm going to eat it.
Wow.
Hey, I'm a connoisseur.
We need to do a cooking show, my friend.
What's in that Tupperware with Greg and Anthony?
That ain't Tupperware. That's a margarine container.
I'm pitching it to Gusto.
Wow.
That's, what have you got to
do? We're going to call it Off the Chain, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because no matter what it is, we're going to, Greg threw that hot sauce on like it was off the chain.
Oh, God.
So this is what I may be enjoying later. So Jack Daniel's over the past few years has put out what they call their Master Distiller series. So their Master Distiller is basically the person in charge of their entire process. And over the years, they've had several. And they sometimes last for quite a long time. Like you'll have somebody who's the Master Distiller for like 30 years or something like that. So they're on number four, the Jack Daniel's Master Distiller series number four. And their Master Distiller at the time is a guy named Jess Gamble. And so what they're doing is they're basically putting out the mash bill process for that each of those distillers used when they were in charge of Jack Daniel's. They're putting them out as special editions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like it's basically you get to taste historical Jack Daniel's,
mm.
but made new, I guess.
Right, right.
But all of that, I say, as a preface to the fact that that I believe Sam Elliott's tried it. And here's what he had to say about it.
Light with plenty of sweetness. There are hints of dry spice and oily nuts, a touch of smoke. Quite smooth and soft, with notes of banana milkshake, a mixed nut note, touch of caramel with creme anglaise. Sweet with a little cereal sweetness and toasty oak.
I think oily nuts may have to be the title of the episode.
Dry spice and oily nuts.
Yeah.
I think that's well within the window of our titles.
Sure.
Yes, dry spice and oily nuts. I'm putting that down on file right now.
We're 11 years old. It's great.
Exactly. Folks, that's our beverage update. And it's time to take you to the retro calendar. It's almost like you need to have a question mark at the end.
Yeah, or with crackling.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It's really old.
Yes. Well, as if the sound effect doesn't harken back to a time that doesn't exist anymore anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
So going back to the beginning of January, and we're just going to review these quickly because for the most part, like we said, this is stuff that you might not have been aware had come back up. Because a lot of times I know that after the holidays, I never know when the shows are starting up again.
It's crazy. The first 2 weeks of January are always nuts. And even for me as a writer, I keep thinking, oh, well, I've got some time. No. Because it just starts like boom. You have New Year's Day off, and then everything starts back again.
So January 2nd was the return of Heavy Rescue 401. Now, until like last year when they talked about when they added 401 after it, I would never associate Heavy Rescue with the 401 highway system, but I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, they've got Highway Through Hell, which is out on the West Coast, and that's not really that great of a title either, but it's certainly better than Heavy Rescue 401. That's it's been the number one show, Heavy Rescue 401. It's the number one show now on Discovery, and they are actually in production right now on the third season of Heavy Rescue 401, because of course the best filming happens during the winter, because that's when the cars get slipping and sliding and crashing into each other.
Yeah, that's when you have the heaviest of the rescuing.
The heaviest of the rescue. And actually, what's been interesting with the second season, and I don't know if they did it in the first season, I don't think they did, is that they got access to all the compass cameras that are all aimed at the highways. So in a lot of cases, they actually go back and will show you the footage of the accident as it's happening,
right.
Which is, it's really great storytelling. It's also freaky as heck to see these cars just, spinning out of control. But it has been a neat piece of storytelling in the second season.
For sure. Also, back on the second, we had the return of Hard Rock Medical, which we talked about quite a bit in November and December before leading up to it. And that's on TVO, which we always do special mention of. And you can find all of the episodes, even going back to season one, on the website.
Yes, you can, which is fantastic for the rest of the country.
Yeah, exactly. On January 3rd, we had the return of Mary Kills People. That is not a middle and the last name. That is actually the premise of the show.
That's right. Mary's back, and turns out that the guy that she killed, the big villain in season one. Turns out he had a sister, and now she's seeking revenge on Mary.
Oh, so I thought what was going to happen is the person that she killed ended up being a doctor at a hospital with Erica Durance.
No. No, Erica Durance is busy with another show.
So, okay.
Good thinking. Good thinking.
I just like to tie universes together. I mean,
you have to. Yeah. And it's so easy to do in the Canadian industry.
Exactly. The Return, this is a show that I've actually been watching, The Return of Cardinal on CTV on January the 4th.
What? So are you all caught up with season two?
So we're up to episode three, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the only thing. I missed part of episode two. It was late at night and I kind of dozed off. So I've seen episode one, episode three, and part of season two, or part of episode two.
Okay. Have you liked it so far?
I like it. I mean, it seems to be, it's moving a bit slow, but it's not meant to be an action story. It's meant to be a character development story. The only subplot that I don't like is the guy coming after Cardinal, like the other cop coming after Cardinal.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's so tacked on.
It is. And if I'm remembering my books right, he actually ended his investigation at the end of the first book. So I don't think he should even be around in the second season. But yeah, I feel the same way. And the other interesting thing about this season is that they're focusing a lot more on the criminals this season than I feel they did in the first season. I feel as though they dealt more with what Cardinal and DeLorme were going through in the first season, which makes sense because you're having to get to know them.
Yeah.
So you spend more time with them. It feels as though they've almost taken a back seat to the bad guys this season.
Now remind me again, is this a six or eighter?
This is six.
Okay. So that I'm actually glad because to me, it seems like already they're seeming like they're stretching it a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree. And the second season, they're doing a little bit of messing around with the stories because it's kind of working as a natural bridge into the third season, which has already been filmed.
Right.
So some stuff that happens in this season carries over to the third season.
Okay. On January 7th, we had the debut, or as I like to call it, the debut of Just Like Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Which, if it wasn't on Yes TV, otherwise known as God TV, could be Just Like Mom and Mom, or Just Like Dad and Dad, or Just Like Non-Binary Identifying Parent,
Like My Two Dads.
Yeah, it could be any of those, but because it's on Yes TV, it's going to be Just Like Mom and Dad. And so, if you've forgotten the show Just Like Mom back from the '80s, hosted by Fergie Ulver, was basically the game show where it was kind of like the Newlywed Game, but for a mom and her kid. And this has now become the Newlywed Game for mom and dad and the kid.
Yeah.
Where you basically try and see how much they know about each other. And it all culminates with them making a big messy thing that they bake. And then
That's right.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before. So yeah, that made its debut and it's on Yes TV.
Yes, and I did watch the first episode just because I wanted to see what it was like, and the production values are higher, but that's pretty much it. It's pretty much the same as the old show. The prizes are better.
Oh, well, how could they not be?
Nobody won a dollhouse.
Yeah, exactly. Ever-awaited January 9th, the return of Schitt's Creek and Working Moms on the same night.
Yes. Yep. Tuesday night comedy on CBC.
Indeed. And also minor renovations on Gusto.
Yes, and now that I look at that, I'm trying to remember what that's about. Let's assume, because it's on Gusto, it has something to do with food. And I'm going to look it up, because...
Well, isn't Gusto home and... Like, it says minor renovations. It's got to have some...
Yeah, I'm going to look it up, because this is one of those cases where Bell Media just dumped this announcement on me, like, midweek, just before it was about to... Yeah, so it's a renovation show. It's a home design show, Anthony, with a twist... A very little twist, as all of the designers are kids.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, let's move on, can we?
Somehow I think that they're not following health and safety regulations. So.
Yeah, they can only work a certain number of hours.
Yes. On January the 10th, we had the debut of The Launch, which CTV went gaga all over. Because Shania Twain was on it, and I haven't watched an episode of this yet. I can't watch any of these talent music shows.
Yeah, what's interesting about this show, and I kind of dismissed it as an American Idol Wannabe. And what's interesting about it is that it really goes behind the scenes and shows how you take a song that's already been written and you have to try and pair it with the right singer so that it makes sense.
Right.
So that part of it has been fascinating. This week, Nikki Sixx is the mentor. This episode on Wednesday night has a bit of a more rockin' feel to it because, hey, nothing says rockin' like Nikki Sixx.
They had to shoot it during the 2 hours that he's sober and awake throughout the day.
Oh, come on now.
I honestly don't know. For all I know, he's been dry for 20 years. I have no idea of it.
Yeah. Aside from that, I like that behind the scenes peek at how songs are actually matched with the singers and then singing in front of a live audience and then the mentors trying to figure out, okay, which one is going to be a hit. Yeah. And, I know that this is probably skewed a little bit because we're in Canada, so there's a smaller market, but the two singles, the single that was selected on the debut episode, and then last week, both of those songs went to the top of the iTunes charts in Canada. So Bell Media is getting more into the music industry with the launch, and also with Bat Out of Hell, they're getting into theater as well. So we'll see how it goes. I imagine that with the success of this and the fact they're shopping around the franchise idea for the launch, that there will be more music programming on Bell Media to come.
Sure. I would guess so. I mean, it's consumable in 3 to 4 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And maybe that's where the future of TV is. Like, has it always been pairing the music with the TV show and going through iTunes and the charts? Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Like I say, anything that's consumable and interactive, I think, is what it comes down to these days.
Yeah.
Also on the 10th, Spencer's Big 30, also on Gusto.
Yes, and this is Spencer Watts, who already has a couple of shows on Gusto, so he's got another one, and it's a fast-paced series featuring healthy, hearty meals for four that can be made by anyone in around 30 minutes for around $30.
Now, has anyone ever said if it's officially Gusto or Gusto?
I believe it's Gusto.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
Would
that make sense? Does that make more sense than Gusto? When I think of the word gusto, I think that, like, spunky and energetic.
Well, I mean, I think either of them apply. I mean, it's going to mean the same thing. I think,
yeah.
You know, gusto would actually be like, because it sounds, I mean, being of half Italian descent, it's an Italian word.
Okay.
And you would pronounce it gusto in Italian, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we would pronounce it the same way, because we can't even say the city names properly, so... It's always been a pet peeve of mine that something called Roma, you have to change to Rome.
Yeah, good point.
Because you can't actually say that. Anyway, I wax on idiotically. Also on the 10th, Burden of Truth / Detectives debuted on the CBC.
That was just because I didn't have space to put the. So Burden of Truth, Kristen Crook, small town lawyer. We're into the third week. Wednesday's episode will be the third one, and the show has certainly evolved. It's gone from what seemed to be a small case into a huge one that's dealing with toxins in soil and kids being affected by the toxins with neurological disorders, and things have gotten quite dramatic, and I've heard from several people that have said that they stuck with the first episode and that they're glad that they did.
Okay.
And then switching things up an hour later is The Detectives. And if you're a fan of true crime, you're going to like that because it's recreating dramatic recreations of key murder cases in Canada's history. And the hook here is that the detectives that were actually on the cases are speaking to producers, and then they're doing reenactments that are very, very good.
I guess I have a skeptical eye of any reenactment type show or, you know.
Yeah, because they're usually cheesy.
Yeah, true crime that's based on. And I guess it's because, like, after years of watching stuff like Dateline, you know, you've got, like, the cheesy voice. It's like,
yeah.
But was it really a case of murder?
What's his name? Matthew Perry's stepdad is the worst for that stupid lilt that he does in his voice when he's doing that. Oh, I can't remember his name, but I can't watch the true crime show that he hosts because of the way that he delivers it. No, actually, The Detectives is very, very good with the delivery. They've gotten Canadian actors like Eric Johnson, who I think he did one of the very first TV ABC's podcasts with you,
right.
From the Nick. So he played a cop in in the last episode. Hugh Dillon is in the season finale, I believe. So it's a who's who of male and female Canadian television actors playing these roles. And it's very well written. I really, really like this show.
Okay. That's good. On January 12th, the return on CBC of Hello, Goodbye.
Yes, with Dale Curd, who walks around and talks to people at Pearson Airport just about their feelings and their stories and why they're at the airport.
Could they license the did they license Hello Goodbye by the Beatles, by the way?
They didn't. No, come on, man. This is CBC. They don't have that kind of money.
Someone could have probably remade it.
Redone it? Yeah.
You could have had, like, you know, some CBC radio darling like Joel Plaskett redo it or something like that.
CBC radio darling Joel Plaskett. Love it.
Well, it would happen all the time. Or Danny Michelle or something like that, you know. Anyway, on Sunday the 14th, we had the return on HGTV of Brian Inc.
Brian and Sarah Baumler renovating houses, trying to keep their businesses together and not kill each other.
And then also on CBC, the debut of The Weekly with Wendy Mesley as they... I think this is another attempt to try and fill the gap of Peter Mansbridge.
Yeah.
Say Wendy Mesley doesn't deserve a show on her own. She's been around for at least two decades at the CBC. But
yeah, I feel as though this was because, you know, she took over and filled in an awful lot on the National. And when they decided to go with the four heads on the National and that she was the odd man out, I think it made sense for them to say, hey, here's the bad news. You're not going to be on the National, but here's the good news. We're giving you a show on your own. So it's Sunday mornings at 11 or 11:30. And it's very much, you remember when she used to host a show called Undercurrents?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is basically Undercurrents.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's fine.
So, I mean, that caught us up to what's happened in the past in the month. What we have coming up within the next couple of days is the season finale of Vikings on History, because that's a Canadian show.
Oh, yes. Hey, you have a couple of actors and you do all of your post-production in Canada? Hey, it's a Canadian show.
It's a Canadian show. So, but people are still huge, huge fans of this show. And so there you go. I mean.
Yep. So that's on the 24th.
And also on the 30th, and this is the last one we'll mention for the month, is the series finale of Hard Rock Medical.
Yes.
Now, it was only on for 5 weeks. Was it more than five episodes?
It's been nine episodes and they've been airing them back to back. So two episodes every night through the month.
So they have finally declared that they have run out of northern communities to get tax credits in.
There's two things.
Timmins wasn't available for next season. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, there's two things. So first of all, there's the creators had always considered this to just be a four season. Show because of the program.
The graduating class, right?
Yeah, the graduating class. Yeah. So the show ends with the graduating class. But it is funny that you mentioned the Northern Ontario Fund because, you know, all of that, those funds are all public record, right?
Yep.
So for last year, for the production of nine episodes of Hard Rock Medical, the producers were given $800,000. Okay?
Yep.
Cardinal, for six episodes, were given $1.2 million. And Carter, which is Bell Media show, I think it's a co-production that's coming up. They were given 1.5 or 1.7. So it's another case of it's almost hard to believe that television shows can be made on the budgets that they are. Oh, and Letterkenny gets 1.2 million to make Letterkenny. So it's very interesting to see how all that money is spread out and how there's some really big ones at the top, and then everybody else is kind of scrabbling for what's left.
Yeah. Not surprising, because it all comes down to the lobbying of where the actual money's coming from.
Yeah.
So there we'll wrap up the calendar.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay. We'll be back sometime in February, which now is looking pretty sparse. Just saying.
Yes, because of the Olympics. Basically, everybody's going to take a back seat while the Olympics are on.
Just over the past couple of days, we've had a major announcement from Vice. So if you remember, when was it? About 2 years ago, we were talking about the fact that Rogers was dumping a shit ton of money into Vice Canada. Was it I forget what it was. It was in the neighborhood of like...
Yeah, 2014. Yeah. Rogers and Vice Media signed a $100 million deal for content.
$100 million. So basically anything that Vice created would be available on the Rogers empire.
Yeah, on either on City or on Omni or mainly on the Viceland channel, which had been set aside. They'd had the Viceland channel.
Yeah. So that being said, nary 3.5 years later, and there has been a divorce.
There has. Rogers Media announced yesterday, Monday, that they and Vice Canada had agreed to terminate their joint venture in Vice Studio Canada and Viceland. Viceland will cease broadcasting on March the 31st of 2018. All the content will still be available to Canadians if you go to the website, vice.com. So if you want to see Rise or Dead Set on Live or Nirvana, the band, the show, that's where it'll be. The Roger says, in this crowded content universe and as audience habits change, we continue to evolve our strategy to deliver unique content to Canadians. We plan to redirect our Canadian content funding to other Canadian content initiatives that better align with our portfolio and brands.
It's interesting that just last year, 2017, Vice Canada announced an exclusive deal with Bell Media to broadcast Vice News Tonight, which is actually Emmy Award winning.
Yep.
And
that's right, and
a partnership with W5 to produce two documentaries on the opioid crisis.
Yeah, and when those notes came were sent around, I thought, well, that's weird that they've got a deal now with Bell Media. What does that mean? And I should have been more on the ball about this because that should have been the hint that there was something going on.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting that within an hour or so of Bell or of Rogers sending out that announcement, Vice sent out its own announcement saying that Vice Canada have acquired full ownership over their studio business and Viceland content library following the end of their joint venture with Rogers Media, and that they're going to be they're still going to be around. They're going to be, but they're going to be shopping all of their stuff around to other people. And of course, like you just said, you know, Bell Media, they were already in bed with Bell Media on a couple of things. So maybe they'll expand that partnership.
Yeah. So be interesting to see how that develops. I mean, Vice is, there's been a couple of accusations with all of the Weinstein accusations going on in the Me Too movement. There've been a lot of accusations against some of the higher ups at Vice as well.
Yeah.
But it's rolling on, and it has been accused in many ways of being very much a bro channel.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things that John Doyle says in his piece that in the Globe and Mail is that Vice was never going to work as a TV channel. It belongs on the internet, which I don't dispute what he says. He said the highly promoted launch of Viceland Channel in the UK in the fall of 2016 was catastrophic. In the early going on some nights during prime time, Viceland UK had a zero rating in the official audience measurement chart. That is, officially, there was nobody watching.
Yes.
Not good.
Not good at all. But then when you got 800 channels these days, including TSN, the Ocho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, out of talking about Bell announcements, Bell Media has decided to bring Stars to Canada. Now, that's Stars with a Z.
Or Z.
Technically, because it's coming out of the States, out of Santa Monica, it's Stars with a Z. But Stars is a basically started as a pay-per-view company out of the States, pay-per-view channel, which has over the past couple of years really picked up the ball on doing some solid original content and is getting more and more recognized for that content, especially with Emmy Awards and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. They have two programs of note, Black Sails and Power, and they are both actually on Super Channel right now. So obviously once those contracts run out at Super Channel, they'll be going over to Bell. But Bell Media, premium subscribers on all platforms. The movie network Encore is going to be rebranded next year. And Lionsgate had originally bought Stars, so this deal is with Lionsgate and Stars, and so we are going to see Stars Channel take over TMN Encore, or also, hey, if you're subscribing to Crave TV, we're going to get a lot more Stars content on Crave TV, which is great. And now, also, go ahead.
I was going to say, there was a Stars, at one point there was a network in Canada that had Stars in it or something like that. Like, I don't know if it was spelled the same way, but there was something that that was branded with Stars, which was a pay TV channel in Canada at some point. I don't know how long ago it was, but I seem to be reaching back, and that's part of my collective memory back there. But so, I mean, I don't think it's going to be confusing at this point because I don't think it's been here for a while. But Stars isn't just one channel. It's kind of a – there's a whole bunch of Stars channels in the States, just like there's a whole bunch of TMNs up here.
Yeah. And the press release says that there are going to be over 7,000 feature film and television titles, and the original programming roster led by hits such as Power, Girlfriend, Experience, and the highly anticipated upcoming series including Vita and Sweet Bitter. So, you know, again, you know, expect to pay, you know, what, $8-$9 maybe if you want to have access to this channel a la carte.
Actually, there you go. Actually, the new Star shows coming up sound like, you know, microbrews.
They do. Sweet Bitter.
And Vita.
And Vita.
So there you go. So expect that that will be coming up soon. Also, while we've been on sabbatical, the nominations came out for the 2018 Canadian Screen Awards. The Screenies.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the candies yet?
Not yet.
So they are the Screenies. So, so you've broken down kind of what your call is on the hits and misses of the award nominees, right?
I did, yes. I thought it would be fair, you know, because I think, honestly, you know, people sit around and they criticize like they did this morning with the Oscars nominations, because Tuesday the Oscar nominations came out, the Golden Globes. Whenever the nominations come out, there's the hits and misses. So I thought, hey, listen, the Canadian Screen Awards are an award show, so let me weigh in. We already talked about Vikings, and it is up for Best Drama Series, along with 19-2, Anne, which is the updated Anne of Green Gables, Mary Kills People, Pure, which is a fantastic drama on CBC that was canceled after one season. And I don't think that Vikings fits in here. I don't think, and it's got really nothing to do with the whole CanCon thing. It's all to do with the storytelling for me. I just don't think that this last season of Vikings has been as good as the final season of X Company was, or the first season of Travelers was. So I just weigh in. Let me just go over a couple of other categories, and sure, you can weigh in if you want to. Yeah. Best comedy series, we got Letterkenny, Working Moms, Nirvana the Band, The Show, Michael Every Day, and Kim's Convenience. Obviously, there's no Schitt's Creek in there, but what do you think about that?
Well, no, I was surprised at that as well. I mean, that was one of the, and also, now Mohawk Girls didn't make that list as well, and that was its final season, right?
It's got one more. It's just the final season just broadcast, so it'll be It would be nominated next year as well, okay, perhaps.
But that's kind of been a stalwart for the past couple of years, anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, those are two that I would have expected to be there. But and like, now, how long was the run of Michael Every Day? It was about six or eight episodes.
It was six episodes, and CBC broadcast them back to back, so it was done in 3 weeks.
Like, here's the only issue for me is that, Are we too broadly defined? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not a fan of having 6,000 different categories.
Mm-hmm.
But is there time now to start to distinguish between the short run series and the full season complement? You know, even though I don't know that there is full season complements anymore, to be honest with you.
I think you bring up a good point, because when you move down, we have categories for best limited series or program, and I would think that would be where Michael Every Day would have fit a little bit better, as opposed to 10 or 13 episodes for those other shows. Now, if you look at the best limited series or program, you've got Cardinal, Alias Grace, The Disappearance, The Kennedys After Camelot, and Bruno and Boots, This Can't Be Happening at McDonald Hall. So it certainly, you know, would have fit into that category.
Cardinal, six episodes, and it's put in there. And Michael Every Day, six episodes.
Yeah. And Bruno and Boots is a comedy, as opposed to those other four dramas in there. So that would have been the perfect fit, I think, anyway.
Yeah. Best sketch comedy program or series, all that you'd expect. The Beaverton, Baroness von Sketch, Rick Mercer Report, and This Hour is 22 Minutes. It's kind of what you'd expect to be in there. Nothing shocking or too surprising. Did Sunnyside have any episodes that would have qualified for this?
No, that window's closed on Sunnyside.
Okay, because I know that they did like that 2-part season, and I forget how much of it showed within 2017 or anything like that. The best reality competition series, yeah, basically any put any three words before Canada, and you can get a nomination.
Yeah.
TVA the podcast Canada. We're in. Amazing Race, Bachelorette, Big Brother, MasterChef, Top Chef, .. Canada. Limited series, you already talked about. Lead actress in a comedy. This is where you get an appearance from Schitt's Creek, making the comeback. So two nominations from Schitt's Creek, two nominations from Kim's Convenience, and Katherine Reichman from Working Moms.
Yeah, and I don't have an issue with that. I wish that maybe, you know, not necessarily swap out Catherine Reitman's name, but I certainly think that Dani Kind, what she's done on Working Moms has been fantastic. So I was a little bit surprised to not see her name in there. But I can't argue. I really can't argue with any of the names in that list at all.
Best lead actor in a comedy, Jerry D for Mr. D, Jared Kiesel, Letterkenny, Paul Sun Hyung Lee from Kim's Convenience, Eugene and Dan Levy, both from Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough category.
It is. Best lead actress in a drama, Amy Beth McNulty from Anne, Carolyn Davernas from Mary Kills People, Jenny Raymond from Sex of Violence, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black. Last time we'll be seeing that.
Yes.
And Megan Rath from Rogue.
Yeah, it's funny. Sex and Violence is nominated almost every year, if not every year, and I have yet to see an episode of it. I'm loath to even know where it is, where it's broadcast. I'm sure one of our listeners will let me know. And I haven't watched a season of Rogue since the first season. So the only, genre programming rarely gets any kind of love, but it would have been nice if, although Tatiana Maslany is in there, it would have been nice if Melissa O'Neill from Dark Matter or Hannah John Kamen from Killjoys could have been nominated in that category. Like I said, though, maybe to swap out those shows that I've never heard of, but then that's not really fair because just because I haven't heard of them doesn't mean that the performances haven't been great.
Sure. We've got a few more here. So for best lead actor in a drama series, Brian Marcus in Romeo Section, Richard Short, Mary Kills People, Christopher Heyerdahl for Van Helsing, Alexander Ludwig for Vikings, and Sean Doyle for Bellevue.
Yeah, honorable mention, I would say, to Jack Lasky on X Company. I think he did great. I'm thrilled that Brian Markinson is nominated because he really made the second season of the Romeo Section an engaging watch. So he certainly deserves to be there.
Best lead actress, a drama program or limited or a limited series.
Yes.
Drama program or limited series.
Yeah, yeah.
Sarah Gadon for Alias Grace, Maxime Roy for Bad Blood, Karine Vanasse for Cardinal, Camille Sullivan for The Disappearance, and Alaine Joy for Murdoch Mysteries.
Yeah, and
so correct me if I'm wrong, but does it look like there's a lot of French-Canadian names in that list? Even though they're not necessarily all from Quebec, but the names all read off as...
They sure do.
In one way or another, they read off as French-Canadian.
Well, two of them are from Quebec, that's for sure. Maxime Roy and Karine Vanasse are both from Quebec. It's interesting. I got into it a little bit with Shaftesbury erroneously because I said, why would Alaine Joy, and when we get down to best lead actor, drama program, or limited series, why are she and Yannick Bisson nominated in best lead actor and actress in a drama program or limited series? They should just be up for best actor in a drama. Like, it shouldn't be this whole limited series thing for a 2-hour TV movie.
Yeah.
And Shaftesbury got back to me and said, listen, we nominated them for this category and for best actor and best actress. So that's on the Academy's shoulders that this falls. This doesn't make any sense to me that you take a 2-hour TV movie and plop these two actors into these categories when they, for the other 18 episodes that they made, they're not nominated. It doesn't make any sense to me.
This is the Academy trying to find a way to put them into a category because they couldn't find room for them in the other category.
And that doesn't work for me. Yeah. I'm sorry. They need to change that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for me.
And under best lead actor in a drama program or limited series, Kim Coates for Bad Blood, Edward Holcroft for Alias Grace, Billy Campbell for Cardinal, Alan Thicke for It's Not My Fault and I Don't Care Anyway, and Yannick Bisson for Murdoch Mysteries, Home for the Holidays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who's the odd man out in there? It's Yannick Bisson when you put the miniseries up against, or the 2-hour movie up against that other stuff. I think Alan Thicke will probably win, right?
Well, really?
I don't know.
I guess, nostalgia would dictate that you might want to do that, but
if you're going by performance in those projects, I've got to say this is Billy Campbell. This would be season one of Cardinal that he would be nominated for. So I would say easily Billy Campbell, and if not Billy Campbell, Kim Coates. Okay. They're just so good.
There you go. So that pretty much takes us to we got caught up, Greg.
We got caught up. Just a quick note. The Canadian Screen Awards broadcast gala is going to be Sunday, March the 11th at 8 o'clock on CBC. We'll have another chance to talk about that probably before the show, but I'll be there. I'll be in the press room.
It's gallerific. Greg, why don't you tell people where they can find you when we're not here recording monthly?
Yeah. Oh, you can find me running the show over at tv-eh.com. The website that celebrates Canadian television. You can follow me on Twitter at TV_EH. Yeah, go to the website. There's a bunch of social media links down on the left-hand side. Follow me at any of those. Follow us and me at any of those spots. How about you, Anthony?
Find all the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com and on Twitter at anthonymarco. And you can find Greg and I on occasion doing a little podcast over at bestepisodeever.com talking about retro television.
Yes.
Not Canadian necessarily, but retro television. Shows up till 1989. That's how far back we're reaching, folks. We're almost at a 30-year gap on that show, by the way.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Have you ever thought about maybe moving up another 5 years?
I have. People have said that in the past, but there's something magical about not going into the 90s while keeping it retro. It's just because of my age, right? Like, I don't consider anything in the 90s retro.
No, that's true. And there's so many shows that we haven't covered as well, right? It's not like we've used them all up and need to move up or anything.
No,
like
we
that.
Just need to do some more deep mining. I mean,
yes.
You know, after Automan, you know.
I've got a good one lined up for the next time.
There we go. That'll be good. Folks, you can listen to this podcast by going to tv-eh.com, finding us on Twitter at TVEH, like Greg, TV_EH, like Greg said. And feel free to go to our Patreon page, and if you'd like to chip us a couple bucks for the work we do here, we'd be happy if you did that as well. And you can listen to all the past episodes there as well, although a lot of them are dated. But, you know, hey, if you got nothing to listen to for the next little while and you exclusively want to listen to people talk about Canadian television, this is the place to come.
It sure is. And oh, a quick teaser for next week's TV ABCs, where we talk about where I interview somebody in the Canadian television industry. It is with it's an hour. Lachlan Murdoch, who plays Higgins on Murdoch Mysteries. We met up at the Danforth Pizza House. Yes, we went to a pizza place amongst all the Greek restaurants in the Danforth and talked about his career. And he's had a varied and very interesting career. So that'll be the next TV ABCs.
Pretty cool. While you're at the pizzeria, did you enjoy any dry spice or oily nuts?
No.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
I did not. Thanks for asking.
No problem. That wraps up another episode for this month. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.